Well, it's 6 o'clock. We'll go ahead and wait for the few people that are coming in from the prayer group. They're always late. You know, they used to meet at 5:30. And then they said, well, we're always coming in late, so we're going to move it to 5. So they meet at 5, and they're still always late. Yeah, I noticed that. It's not so clear up there.
Coming from a printer who's done signs on the road.
So, it looks good on this screen, just not on that one. So we'll eventually replace the projector with a screen. Eventually, I'd like to do that. Projectors are old school technology. They don't have that clear screen though that I like. No, it sure doesn't. Eventually, this one will get out too. All right, well, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer as we get started today. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing of just gathering us together. Lord, we pray that we just continue to worship you as we seek your wisdom in your word, Lord, as we seek to understand. Lord, we pray that we fall in love with the scriptures more and more each day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, well, today we're continuing in chapter 17 of Genesis. So hopefully you got your own Bible, so you don't need that, and don't need that up there. Of course, I know the slides are on a different color. And you have the app, too, which has, if you've got the Bible app, our Laughlin Church app, it's got the notes in it. So you can follow along with that, and you can see all the charts that we're going to show up there on the app, on your tablet, or on your phone. Or as soon as I upload it tomorrow, it'll be on the website too. Because it goes to the website the day after when I upload it. So, chapter 17. This is the longest and most complicated speech so far in the book of Genesis. So if you're looking at a nice, long, complicated speech, actually in the English it's not too bad, but in the Hebrew it's kind of complicated. But it is the longest ones. There it is. This speech of chapter of Genesis 17 is in three different parts. Part A, God's speech to Abraham. He becomes Abraham in this passage. And there's a covenant and promise of seed. And summons to circumcise every male. So we're talking about circumcision today. So yeah, some of you guys might get a little squirmish. Genesis chapter, then it goes part B in 17 through 22. God and Avram dialogue about the promise of seed. And then in the last part of it, we call it A. It has a chiasm, remember the X-like structure where you go in and then back out? You have the two ends tied together, common, very, very common in the Hebrew Bible where you have a center point, and they call this a chiasm because it's based off of the Greek letter for chi, which is an X. You have like a structure in there, so it goes back to an A part two. So A1, then B, then A back to, just like poetry. A lot of our English poetry does that, where you have A and then, and the Greek, the Hebrew does that all the time. Abraham, so we go back to the idea of circumcision of every male in the house. So I figure what we're going to do is I'll read through this section, and you guys can follow along in your books, in your Bibles, And then we'll go back through it and go as we do, and we'll talk about a few things. I will not be able to cover everything we can talk out. That's just too much, right? We'll be here for a week and a half. But let's go to Genesis chapter 17. We'll start with verse 1. When Avram was 99 years old, the Yahweh appeared to him, saying, "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai." That's the El Shaddai. Oh, we've seen that song, right? El Shaddai. That's the first time it's used here. "I am El Shaddai. Live in my presence and be blameless. I will set up my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly." Then Avram fell face down and spoke with him, "As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Avram. Your name will be Avraham. For I will make you father of many nations, and I will make you extremely fruitful, and I will make nations and kings come from you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God." Also, God also said to Abraham, "As for you and your offspring, after you throughout their generations are to keep my covenant. This is my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, which you are to keep. Every one of your male must be circumcised. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskin to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you is to be circumcised at 8 days old. Every male born in your household or purchased from any foreigner and not your offspring, whether born in your household or purchased, he must be circumcised. My covenant will be marked in your flesh as a permanent covenant. If any male is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that man will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarah, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. I will bless her indeed, and I will give you a son by her, and will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. Then he laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth?" So Avraham said to God, "If only Ishmael were acceptable to you." But God said, "No, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac, Yisek. I will confirm my covenant with him as a permanent covenant for his future offspring. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him. I will make him a fruitful and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant with Yisek, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year." When he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and those born in his household or purchased every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. on that very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men in the household, whether born in the household or purchased from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. All right, what a passage. Sorry, I didn't follow along with the... Yeah, I didn't follow along. I'm bad about that. That's why I tell you guys to follow along with your own Bibles. So, right off the bat, Abraham was 99 years old when this happened. So, it's been 33 years since he's been promised he's going to have a kid with Sarai. Still hasn't happened. Remember, at 20 years, they had that scheme. They're going to have a child with Hagar, the immigrant, the slave. And she's going to bear him a child under and then give it to Sarai as her own. And she fights that, and Sarai treats her badly, and Hagar, it's a debacle. Ishmael's 13 at this point. So not a young man. He's 13 coming into adulthood. I know that doesn't sound like adulthood to us. We're like, no. But in that society, he'd be coming into his adulthood. Remember, the idea of an adolescence is really new. When the term youth or adolescence began, it first started from the age of 12 to 14. That was how it started. And now we kind of keep moving up. We don't have any, one of the problems we have, well, we're living longer, so we don't expect people to grow up as fast. When you live longer, you grow up slower. That's just reality. So our civilization is living longer. But also, we don't have any patterns, any ceremonies that says, now you're a man. You know? It seems to be up to each individual family to like define when you become a man in your household. I mean, when do you become a man? Was it like 18 when you graduate? Is it 21 when you can drink? 18 when you go off to war? When you can buy a house, which is, you know, now society, you'll never become an adult. you know, when you have your first kid, which is, you know, what, you know, there's you know, it seems to be up to every household to define that for themselves. And I think that's really hurting our society. But it is in societies that live longer, you have longer periods of adolescence in between time. But yeah, so at 13, he'd be becoming a man. He's not quite a man. He's kind of a man at that time period. But Yahweh becomes visible to God. To Avram. He appeared to him. And says, hey, we're going to make a covenant between you and me. Now, they've already got a covenant, right? So he's not... we talked about this when we talked about the first covenant, but he's not like redoing the covenant. This is not a, because that first covenant, remember, he split the animals and he walked between, he put Avram to sleep. And so he took care of both sides of that covenant. And that covenant was made for two people to be walking through those animals. Say, if we break this covenant, we're going to be like these animals, split in two. Might as well be dead. We're not going to. But God takes care of it. He puts Abraham to sleep, and so he walks through it by himself, says, I'm going to take care of both sides of this. Abraham covenant is, it cannot be broken. God is going to take care of it no matter what we do. But then Abraham goes and messes up. He misbehaves with his wife Sarai, and they're scheming and they're doing things they ain't supposed to do. So now he's going. What he's doing is he working with. See, he's got a covenant promise, but now he's got. God is working another sign with him, saying, "Hey, I know you screwed up. Let's work this covenant. Let's make a sign between me and you." We're gonna talk more about it, just like that sign of the rainbow. We're gonna talk more about that later. Let's make a sign between us. We're gonna make a covenant, and I'm going to multiply you very much, is what he says. And Avram's response is to fall on his face and worship. Now, falling down before the Lord is a wonderful, natural response to when God moves. We fall on our face in worship of God. Now, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyways, because I'm going to get myself in trouble. There are some Christian traditions where you see them falling back in like response to God. Nowhere in the scriptures do they ever fall backwards in response to God. It's always on their face in bowing down in prayer and worship. Always. There's only one passage where it says they fell down and there's no direction mentioned. That's John 18. So that falling back on their backs and stuff like that, that actually gets its roots in other religions being brought in to the Christian faith. Like I said, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But the scriptures, no place do they fall backwards. It's always on their face in response to God. So that's what Abraham does. He falls on his face before God. And it's a sign of bowing down before him as king. So Abraham is 99 years old. "Hey, I'm El Shaddai. I am God Almighty." He says, "Y'all, you better straighten up. Walk before me." He tells him, "Walk before me and be blameless." This is a command. There was one righteous one who walked with God and was blameless. Remember? That was Noah. He walked with God and he was blameless. And he's telling Avram, you need to be like Noah. Walk before me and be blameless. You ain't been blameless. We have a covenant, me and you. I ain't going to break it. I promise I'm going to multiply you. Now I got a promise. Now I got Ishmael. I'm going to multiply him. I got him covered because I made this covenant with you. But Avram, you need to be blameless. Straighten up here, man. Because, he ain't been, at least the last part of the story, he ain't been walking with God. So shape up. You're my covenant partner. And look at the last passage where he's treating Hagar hey, I'm not going to protect you. And so you can turn it over to Sarai. Sarai, you just treat her however you want. She's yours to deal with. She's your slave. You deal with her. She treats her better. Listen, y'all, this is not how you treat people. They are not your tools to manipulate and scheme and abuse. And he says, listen, I told you I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you exceedingly, I'm going to make you exceedingly numerous. So he falls on his face. And he says, so we're going to be in covenant together, so you're no longer going to be Avram. Now, Avram, who remembers what the name Avram means? Yeah, I know, we forgot. That's... Remember, Av means, Av in Hebrew means Father. So Avram means exalted or lifted up Father. I knew you'd find it. So it's Father, exalted Father. He says, no longer you're going to be exalted Father. He says, your name's going to be Avraham, which, so Avraham, which Haman means of the nations. So, or the multitude. So I'm going to make you, instead of just being the exalted Father, I will make you Father of the nations. And so his very name means Father of the nations. So you're going to be the exalted Father of the whole bunch of nations now. I'm going to lift you up even further. And so you're Avraham. And I'm going to make you fruitful very much. And kings are going to come from you. And then there's this thing about circumcision in the middle. We're going to actually talk about that here in a minute. We're going to skip that. We'll come back to circumcision, okay? What's that? Fruitful. Now, fruitful goes back, that's the same word. It goes back to the idea of seed. Now, remember, you're going to seed in this society that he's living in, their agricultural society. So a man who's going to be fruitful is going to have a lot of seed. So you're going to have a lot of, you're going to have seed, but it's not just any seed. It's not weed seed. It's good to eat seed. Sweet seed. It's going to be good. I will make you, nay, Father Nation, you're going to be fruitful. I'm going to multiply you. That's what it's going to be. So he says, and it makes sense more so in their society because they're farmers. When we use this kind of, we would probably, if God was speaking to us today and we were writing down the Bible, we probably would use different language. I actually guarantee you would be using a different language. We're not farmers. I mean, there are farmers here, but most of us are not farmers. And those who are farmers are mostly large corporations, right, anymore. You know, and sell all your stuff to, you know, the big companies, you know. Because those are the ones that can afford it, you know. And so we would use different language today. So when we read this, we got to put ourselves back in their mindsets. And so he says, Avraham, this is what I'm going to do for you. You're going to be the father of nations. But as for Sarai, remember, what does Sarai mean? Princess, that's right, my princess. With the I at the end, it means my princess. Now, Sarah is the same word princess, but instead of just being my princess, she's the princess of everyone, of all the nations. So, princess to the nations. Not just my princess, princess to the nations. And so we've got this name. So I'm going to bless her, and she's going to turn in. She's going to turn into nations, and kings are going to come out of her. They're both being recreated. God's agenda here is they're going to be recreated. And anytime you see name change in the scriptures, it's a pay attention time, right? Because someone is being showing ownership. We see passages where God changes name, Jesus changes names. We see places where, like in the book of Daniel, where Daniel and his three friends, remember, they get new names that are related to the gods of Babylon, because the king of Babylon said, no, you're no longer going to have this Jewish Hebrew name where your God, talking about your God, we're going to give you a name that matches our God, showing we own you. You're now under our command, our control, our God's control. Now, they bucked the system. But that's what it shows, that ownership. So, in this, you're being renamed. And so, God is saying, I'm going to determine your identity. I'm going to determine your destiny. I'm going to, you know, you are no longer just the limited scope of what you were. You are now more than you ever thought you could be. And so, what? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking for that. Thank you. And so once he finishes, you know, he's talking to God. He kind of like falls on his face and, you know, like, God, are you serious? I'm like 100 years old, man. Like, God doesn't know, right? But I'm 100 years old. Are you really expecting me to give birth to a baby? Which I imagine is what we would be saying too. We can't judge Abraham here. I thought we would have, I mean, we, you know, oh my goodness, you know. My partner, yeah, she's 90. She's past those ages. Well past it. And he says, well, you know, you're my covenant partner, you're going to have a kid. And he said, and Abraham says, well, you know, I already have one son, Ishmael. If only he, and because what he, way he says it, he's like, if only he would count. He's actually saying, God, can you count him? Right? And just a nicer term, right? And let Ishmael be the chosen one. I worked it out with Hagar, but God says, you know what? I'm going to bless him. But he's not the chosen one. He's not the one I want. You're going to have it with Sarah. And Abraham laughs. Now, the Hebrew word for laughed is tsak. So he tsaks. And God said, okay, if you don't believe me, then you're going to have a name, and you're going to name him Yitzhak. Which means laughter. His name means laughter. And it's going to be a reminder that you didn't believe me. You laughed at me when I told you. Maybe there was a little bit of laughter of hope, but and so he says. He says, you're going to laugh at me, and you're going to laugh, and so you're going to name him Laughter. And so at that time, they follow through with the circumcision, where they cut off the foreskin of every male's penis as a sign of the covenant. Now, someone asked me, what happens to the women? Why aren't women included in the sign of the... Why is it so limited just to men? I said, well, there's a couple things going on here. One, when we talk about relationship, we often think me. We're a me society. They're a we society. What do I mean by that? The male represented the household, represented the covenant promise. And so in that society, when you did the male, you were doing the whole household. The whole household was under that sign. It was expected that when the male, but we're a me society, right? We're like, well, what about females and males? We're different. We're, you know, what about, why am I not part of this? And I heard that, why am I not part of the sign? But in that society, males would have been a sign over all the household. It would have been for the whole household. Interesting enough, when you look at statistics in church, and this is not saying we should go back to that way of thinking, I'm not saying that, but if you looking at evangelism in the church, if you get the children, you got a small probability that you're going to get the mom and maybe the dad. If you get mom, you're probably going to get the kids. If you get dad, you will get the rest of the family. You want to evangelize, going after the father will get the whole household. There's something in the, even in our society, which is a me society, and males no longer represent the whole, and we've destroyed the family, there's still something about it in our natures, where the father is representative of the family. And so that's, I know it's hard for us to wrap our heads around that in our society, but there's something there. And I'm not saying we should go back to this. Don't hear me. I'm going to get some emails. No. I'm just saying there's something there in the way where God has created us to be male and female. He made them in his image. It's not one person that does it all. It's we are created, male and female. So anyways, so they have this this circumcision, and they let me find that passage in Scripture. There we go. There's that that passage on circumcision. So most of the passage is actually about what God is going to do. But here in this middle section, we have it's right in the center of the speech. Remember, there's the A and then B, and we have right in the center of that first speech. We're going to have right in the first section. So you have A in the middle of the first section. A, you're going to have the speech on circumcision and what God wants Abraham to do. You're going to keep my covenant. You're going to be. It's going to be out throughout the generations, and you're going to have circumcision, and it's going to introduce circumcision. That's going to be through the rest of the Bible. It's going to play a significant role through the rest of the Bible, even into the New Testament, the Book of Acts, letters of Paul. Remember, they're going to argue in the New Testament, well, you have to be circumcised or not have to be circumcised. Paul's going to do a great deal of writing on that. Peter's going to argue with him. That's going to play a significant role. They're going to start talking about circumcision of the heart. That actually shows up for the first time in Deuteronomy, and then again in Jeremiah, and then Paul's going to grab a hold of those passages and talk about it. And like, well, we don't need to be circumcised in the flesh and blood. We're going to be circumcised of the heart, and we're going to be of spirit. And so it's going to play a major role throughout the Scriptures. So it's going to be a major issue. But this is where it starts, is in the Scripture. But he calls for it. As part of this circumcision. Now, we'll talk about this in a second, but circumcision was not created by God at this instance. This is not like the first instance of circumcision. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But God takes something that's already in practice and uses it in a different way to be a sign of his covenant. He says, whoever doesn't cut off a piece of their flesh is going to be cut off from his people. Not part of that sign. And now this is interesting. Right before this, what part of Avram's body did he use to oppress Hagar? Did he use the sin with? Right where he circumcised that. This is not by accident. This is not by accident. So he's having a bit of it cut off right as right where they've been sinning with, so even though circumcision will have positive connotations, and it'll actually become something the Israelites are very proud of as their identity. Their the origin of it in this story is actually more sobering, that it was in response to Avram's sin. It was because he messed up. And he's 99 years old when this happens. And there's no, well, they might have had a little plant anesthetics, but. Mm-hmm. He did wait a long time. And Mary well may have been. I mean, but how often do we in our, do we? Well, maybe God, like when we're waiting on God, and he said, well, maybe God's just waiting on us to do X, Y, Z, whatever you think God's waiting for you to do. We do that all the time. Maybe just waiting for me to take that first step, and you're just waiting. And so he starts, and can you imagine after 20 years, and then God promised this. Maybe God's just waiting for me to take this first step, and maybe God's planning on me doing it this way. Yeah, it's a long time, right? We have a long time dealing with that. Oh, absolutely, he started to distrust. After all this years, he started distrusting. Well, maybe God wanted me to do this. Maybe I need to do it myself. He starts scheming. Remember, he and Sarah take on the image of the snake. They're the ones scheming. They're the ones plotting. They're the ones being crafty. That's the snake talk. They're not following God, using God's wisdom. They're taking their eyes off God's wisdom and putting it onto their own. They're choosing for the same. Same kind of image we saw back in Genesis chapter 3. And so he's got this problem. And was it wrong? Absolutely. Can we understand where he's coming from then? Absolutely. A lot of us don't like waiting. 6 months? I ain't waiting no 6 months. 20 years. 33 years. Yeah, at 99. Pfft. Let alone, I don't want to raise no kids at 99. we can understand him. Was it wrong? Yes. Did they choose the wrong Tov and Ra, remember that good and bad, their wisdom, where they got their wisdom from? Absolutely. Same imagery we saw back in Genesis chapter 3. Did they choose wrong? Yep, they took that apple and they ran with it. It was the wrong choice. But we can understand them making that choice. We can be sympathetic to him. Though we can try to learn from him and say, hey, this ain't right. Circumcision. I wanted to talk a little more about circumcision. We actually don't know where the origins of circumcision come from. We do know that they practiced it before Avraham, and God turned it into their sign in this passage. It was, we see it in Egypt. Southern Arabia, even parts of Africa, we see it. It's mostly used as a religious rite and rite of passage into manhood, or also as a form of punishment in wartime. We've seen it in Islam, Judaism, Oceanic, African. A lot of them practice a form of circumcision. Judaism is probably the most common one we think of, but in ancient Egypt and other African cultures, part of the foreskin was removed as part of their culture. In Joshua 5:2, it actually Yahweh commands the Israelites to circumcise their children again a second time. It could imply that some of them had already been circumcised in Egypt and then were to be circumcised the Jewish way. Because in Egypt, only a portion of the foreskin was removed. So they might have had to do it twice. In Israel, it's kind of a sign of membership between God and Abraham, an ethnic marker, which is why Paul actually says we don't need it, because you don't have to become a Jew first. Paul actually holds up keeping any law that is not about being an ethnic Jew. He actually says you don't need to follow the laws that are about being a Jew. So Paul holds to a lot of the Jewish things, but he also gets rid of some of them that are all about being a Jew. And you go through the scriptures and read about all those in the New Testament. But the 8-day thing does seem to be mostly to the Israelite religion, and then pass on to Semitic religions like Islam and whatnot. Ancient Egypt, this is actually found on the wall of the temple of, I'm going to mispronounce this, I apologize, Temple of Khonsekhorad, the precinct of Mut, Temple of Karnak at Luxor, Egypt. And this is an 18th dynasty of Amenhotep III, which was carved roughly in 1360, which is a little bit after the practice, and we think we're after Abraham. In Egypt, which this is depicting, one of the circumcision rituals in Egypt, that boy doesn't look like he's 8 years old getting circumcised, does he? In Egypt, it was typically done on adolescent men who are about to be initiated into the priesthood, or as adult males of the noble class. And actually, in some periods of Egypt, when we talk about Egypt, ancient Egyptian, we got to remember that it's not like all the same. There's a lot of time period, 3,000 years of history that you got to go through. So it's not always the same. At one point in Egyptian history, it was actually done right before you got married. So when you become an adult, when you get married, there's all kinds of different things. But so at its earliest, it seems, I'm not an Egyptian expert. It happens. It's similar. They do cut off the foreskin, or at least part of the foreskin, but it's usually done to show a special elite class of circumstances, so not everyone would have done it. This circumcision here was done at on a person that was probably around 12 in this picture, between 8 and 12 years old with a sharp knife. Yeah, he says that you don't have to do anything. And Paul's talking about you don't have to do anything that would make you, you don't have to be a Jew first. So, well, not all the traditions. Good Jews still should, if you're still part of, still do it. But we Gentiles don't have to. You don't have to become a Jew first. But this is a picture from ancient Egypt where it would have been done part of the practice. We don't know why he was being done. Like I said, at different time periods in Egypt, it seems like they were doing it like become a priest. As part of becoming a priest, you had to get circumcised. Or right before you got married or when you become an adult. There's different time periods they have different rituals. But it seemed to be much later in life than it is in the Israelite religion. In East African people, the Bantu, it's a passage into manhood. You'd get circumcised. Young males of the Zulu and Xhosa. I'm more mispronounced that too. My Africanese is not very good. I had a friend who was a missionary kid in Africa. He could speak it all real well. He still goes back every now. His brother is still one of the people that I show for that are missionaries in Uganda. They grew up in East Africa and stuff like that. Good people. But they have a circumcised where you would wash. Their bodies would be painted with whitewash, and then they would be circumcised. During that process, they'd be isolated from the community for several weeks, and then many of them actually have a form of circumcision for women as well in that culture. The cutting off of the foreskin in that society is about leaving behind their boyhood and becoming men. As you remove this section of your the penis, it's still practiced in there, though usually in hospitals nowadays. But in the Aboriginal in Australia, they have something using sea cells to do circumcision as a rite of passage into manhood, as well as a test of bravery. So it's not just the Israelites that have this. It's part of something that was part of already being practiced, and God says, you know what, we're going to take this and we're going to make it a part of the covenant, and we're going to make it solely yours, but we're going to use it to signify something, and you're going to do it at 8 days as part of as the males enter into the covenant, and we're going to use this. Sometimes we want to say that God creates all these things out of nothing, but he takes and uses the culture that we live in to build on, and that's what we see and seeing here. Some of them may have even come out of, Abraham came out of Babylon, and they got people, they're going down into Egypt, they may have come into contact with circumcision already. And so they may have already been, we don't know this, but they may have already been some of them practicing circumcision or forms of circumcision. They said, you know what, we're going to say, let's do this. And in that society, there's also a health benefit to it as well. For soaps and cleanings and stuff like that actually helps keep infections away as well. So some societies might believe that's how it developed in the first place. But yeah, so this complex narrative here is something that is there, and it brings circumcision, but it also hyperlinks remember we're talking in that pattern. We're linking here. We're linking circumcision and the flood. This whole pattern. We see things like walk before me and be blameless, which Noah walks before me and blameless. This chart you can see in the scriptures. I got it from Tim Mackey. Thank you, Tim, because he does a great job with all these charts, and so I don't want to have to redo them. So, you're going to be the father of Moshe, which Noah had Shem, Ham, and Yepeth, who was, so all the nations come from him. And he says, so there's a tie-in here that's establishing Abraham and Noah together. We've already seen this kind of tie-in with the flood of violence with the kings. Remember that story? As the nine kings came through the valley and destroyed, but Abraham was safe up in his little tabernacle area up on the hill. And we're going to see the same kind of attitude here, tying Abraham and circumcision in with the sign of the rainbow, as we're preparing for the next flood story, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, 18 and 19. So we're tying these, so there's all this language just tying it in this pattern. So you see the linking of it creates this clear set of similarities and contrast between the two characters as a sign that they're going to be there. And there's a covenant sign, just like there was a covenant sign with Noah. So there's a tie together of the rainbow and the circumcision as covenant signs. And so we're supposed to see that these are a symbol of God's judgment and mercy. Future seed will come from God's God's genitals, and they'll be cut off from him if they don't take part in this sign. So it's so we have this tie-in together that's preparing us. It's a little bit out of order because we had we had the flood, then we had the sign of the rainbow. Well, now we have the sign, and then we're going to also have that flood that's coming up in the next chapter. So we have this, but there's definitely this tie-in as where the flood cut off the flesh from the face of the land. Now it's about cutting off the foreskin. So we definitely have that tie-in here. And we're meant to see that. The language makes it clear, but that we're supposed to tie that in together as a sign of mercy and of judgment, for judgment for what he has just done, but as and what's coming, and what's coming off, and so and they have a universal scope. As this will be Avraham will be the father of all the nations, right? And Noah's three sons are going to be blessing and fruitfulness after the flood. So will Avraham's be a blessing after the covenant and the flood that's coming? Actually, there's really another interesting one here that you miss if you're not in the Hebrew. In 17:17, let's see if I can go back to that one.
Let's see, does that have 17 on it? No, it does not.
There it is. Sarai, a 90-year-old woman, will give birth. In the Hebrew, it says a daughter of 90 years. Is interesting. You know what an anagram is? Where each of the letters spell out, if you take that phrase in the Hebrew, it spells out the same word that where the word ark comes from. It spells out the word ark. She's going to be the ark. So there's an anagram there that we totally miss in the English. Totally miss in the English. But there's an anagram there that ties Sarah into the ark there. So anyways, any questions? I know that was quick going through this passage.
The science, as I understand, a child is born on the eighth day. Typically, the coagulation factor in the blood is at the highest it is. Is that your concurrence?
Yes, they are. At 8 days old, they're able to coagulate blood and heal properly, and so you can't do it before that, and it's the best time for healing and stuff like that afterwards. And so that's my understanding as well. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but that's my understanding as well. And the Abrahamic covenant is for all that believe too. It doesn't. And then his family?
No more. So that stopped at a certain, I
think, when... No, the Abrahamic covenant never ends.
They're still circumcised, but it's not...
But the sign ends.
Yeah,
but the covenant never does. No, it's only one covenant, just two different... There's the covenant that God does, and this is the sign of the covenant, which God, which he makes with him after Abraham sins. This is a response to Abraham's sin in the covenant. So the first covenant is the full covenant. You're going to be the father of nations. You're going to be the land that's going to possession. There's going to be Jesus is going to come from you guys. We are born. We are into the Abrahamic covenant. Paul makes that clear, that we get to claim into the Abrahamic covenant as Gentiles. Born into that, but the sign of the covenant is a response to Abraham's sin, and that will be for future generations. And it goes, and even good Jews, even today, will still be doing it. But through God's wisdom and the Holy Spirit, God tells them in the New Testament that you don't have to become a Jew first, and this is about the Jewish identity. This is a chosen people kind of identity thing. And so we don't have to go through, Gentiles don't have to go through it. I'm not a Jew. So all I can speak about is I'm a Gentile, not a Jew. I don't have to go through it. Because we're not part of that covenant. Because we're not part of the Jewish. But the Abrahamic covenant still continues. So this is a response in that covenant to Abraham's sin. So it's not a second covenant. It's a response because Abraham sinned in that first covenant. We also don't need it because the one who was cut off for our sake, that is Jesus Christ. So there's that as well. He did it once and for all. Book of Hebrews talks about that quite a bit. I'm not a huge fan of the book of Hebrews. I wish I loved the book of Hebrews. I know some people that do. But when I read it, every other passage, you have to go look up something in the Old Testament, because it's every other verse, if not two or three passages in the same verse. And it's all in the Septuagint Greek. So there's sometimes you're like, wait, that's not in my Bible. And then you go look it up in the Septuagint. Oh, there it is. And so I struggle with it. But it's a good book. It really is. But it's I struggle with it. But oh, I ain't going there yet. Yeah, I stay away from all that. Oh, yes. You know, even though she messes up, Abraham messes up, Lot messes up. We're going to see Lot really screw the pooch in this next section. They're all still considered people of righteousness and people of faith. I love that. I personally love that because it's about showing our allegiance to God. Even if we mess up, He's faithful. We can still be included as people of faith. If we return to Him, and it's nothing we can do about it. And yeah, because you go read Hebrews 11, you're like, whoa, Lot's in this? After you read this next passage, this next section, we're going to work our way next week starting in 18. We're going to be like, I don't know if Lot should be in the Hebrews section. He is not, And then what he does, what his kids do and his daughters do with him, that makes me uncomfortable, that whole section there. We'll talk about that when we get there. But yet he's included. Abraham, as bad as we know, he behaves like the snake sometimes. He's still a man of righteousness and is faithful. Gives me some hope. God is good. All right. Well, it is out. We are past our time. We're already past our time. I can't believe we're already past time. I could keep going on this. But I told you guys I wouldn't keep you past 7, and here it is, 7:02. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll pick up with 18 next week. We'll start talking about Lot and his lot. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing. Lord, I pray that we may be faithful unto you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we hold true to you. Lord, we thank you for your covenant, our new covenant through Jesus Christ, which is better than all the other covenants that have grown old and passed away. Lord, we pray that that we know that this new covenant with you through Jesus Christ is the best covenant. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray we hold true to it as we worship you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Aiden, turn me off, son. Thank you.